Next concert, the future in classical music.
Good morning for this podcast. It's an early morning for me, a later morning in Bucharest, where I'm connected to Vlad Maisterovici, and we're talking about lots of wonderful music playing with you as a violinist, music writing with you as a composer, and music arranging, because you are a conductor, and that is happening at UNESCO Festival in 10 days' time. There's a huge concert coming up, which you created for your three personal roles. So let's see into that. What is your aim in this program?
It's a program that brings together a lot of diversity for the audience, I think. You know, if we talk about feeling music in the heart, we talk about having music in our blood. And that is an identity in itself, I think. And this program deals with that from very different composers, from different spaces. It's a program that looks very perhaps intellectual on paper, but it's more emotional than at first glance. There's a lot of music that has to do with feeling and with unexpected things that happen to us in the concert hall as listeners and as musicians.
Connecting to these emotions is something, of course, everybody wishes for, and yet it's the hardest thing to do, because you can't force emotions in the listener and not in yourself. And when you're in the middle of your emotions, it's hard to say, yes, that's the emotion I want to show. So how to prepare that in the right way?
I think it has a lot to do with being ready for unexpected things in music, whether we are dealing with a piece that is already known or a piece that is perhaps less known. There is no world premiere in this program, but there are some pieces that are perhaps better known to the audience at the UNESCO Festival, like UNESCO's Chamber Symphony. But regardless of the level of awareness, I think what's really important, and as musicians, what we appreciate the most, and also as lovers of music, is to welcome a new kind of feeling in the concert, to be open to experience something unique.
Something unique is that you are taking on three roles in this concert, as a soloist, composer and conductor, but you're not wearing three hats. In turn, your audience can experience how all three positions melt into one another.
Mark Turnage's Romanian Rhapsody is a good example for that, because he was my composition teacher and he composed this piece for me as a performer. It's a question for me to divide the roles, which I am used to doing, it's something that I enjoy, actually. Sometimes you work with the composer, you get to have perhaps some influence. I did not in this particular collaboration, because that's how we decided to work, and I was very keen to not have our composer relationship to be involved in the composer-performer collaboration. In a way, it's a very old-fashioned approach that as performer you try to get inside the mind of whatever composer you are performing, whether it's somebody from 200, 300 years ago. You do your best for your own mind not to be in the way or to disturb these ideas that are there to be brought to light. And this is very different from composing, or even from having control, let's say, over the whole program and the whole experience of the event performance.
That's actually a very interesting thing, because there's this one little frame you just showed where you're very close to the composer and you know his way of writing, and you'll be in the role, you know you're going to be in the role as a main performer, as the soloist, and yet you want to appear as if you're just the performer and the connection to the composer is not important. And that's very interesting. Why would we want to divide the roles so much to make them so clear? And versus that, you're showing the program here where you say, okay, I'm putting everything on the table. Me as a composer, other composers in their relation to me, my relation to the ensemble, and of course, me as a performer. And I'm wrapping this all together as a conductor. So is the one the more timid and the other the I show everything of myself and I just make myself naked if you want so?
It's just the way I work. It's the method of my work. Sometimes I find it's a challenge to isolate this soloist role because, of course, especially with work like Marx, my thinking immediately goes to conducting it because I get so fascinated with the structural side of the music. But this particular piece is very emotional. And it requires you as a performer to completely abandon yourself to the delivery and to the emotional side. And I find that, of course, I'm not the first one to say this, but I can attest to it that part of performing as an instrumentalist is the forgetting all the technical sides and all the structural sides and being completely there on an emotional level. Very similar to an actor's performance. And sometimes it can get in the way to think about the structural things while in the flow, while performing. So it's an unusual concert, not the first time I do it, but it's an unusual concert. And yes, usually we would do it with a soloist, but as things have panned out, I am hopefully not putting absolutely everything on the table, but certainly three aspects.
At least you're not afraid to put things on the table. And that's a great compliment from my side because it's really a stressful situation when you have to pull all the strings and at the same time be free enough to come in as a soloist. It's not so difficult to lead a group as a soloist. You have done that thousands of times before, but it's like putting up another head when you come in on stage the next moment, because then you're moving from the entrepreneur into the soloist role. And then I'm always interested in how that works.
Leading from the violin, I think, is a huge, maybe the biggest privilege because the relationship with the colleagues is very special. It's not only your ideas that you put across, you also play a central role for the duration of the piece. And whereas conducting and actually similar to composing is more about trust because you're not actually making any sounds. It's creating that trust with their colleagues so that your ideas are amplified and brought into reality as a group or and also as individual musicians. This I would say is a main difference.
You bring into Bucharest an ensemble that is dear to you, that you've worked with a lot, and it's not Romanian at all. It comes from the Netherlands, the New European Ensemble. What's your experience with them? Are they friends, colleagues, or just a fine new music ensemble?
The collaboration goes back almost 7 years. It's a fantastic group of musicians, incredible performers, and many of them conductors and composers and chamber musicians. And I've had the chance to work with them in different diverse situations as performer, as composer, as conductor. As touring musician, along the years, we've put together very, very interesting projects, and it's very nice to be able to do these pieces in Bucharest. Mark Turnage, Romanian Rhapsody, has had a Romanian premiere a few years ago, but this is the first time in Bucharest, and of course it's by the ensemble for which it was written. My Metamorphose after M.C. Escher also. So there are two works that were written for the ensemble that they are playing themselves in festival. And the Ionescu Chamber Symphony is, I think, the perfect connection we can make with the history. Like myself, the ensemble, and in many of our programs, new music is presented in a conversation with the music of the past. And I think that's important to give the audience a chance to enjoy this diversity, experiencing repertoire, hearing repertoire alongside each other in the same musical experience. That's something I believe, and that's something that I try to do every time.
Let's look into the program together now. Of course, all the pieces are really related to you because you either performed them already, or they are written for you even, or they are very close to your life when you were a young composing student. So do the pieces show different sides of yourself, or is there a storyline within the pieces and a connection of styles, for example?
No, on the contrary, it's an eclectic program. The theme of the concert started from putting together Turnage's Romanian Rhapsody with Enescu's Chamber Symphony for 12 instruments. And the idea behind this is the fact that Mark Turnage's piece has a title that makes us think of Enescu more broadly to the 19th century rhapsody, romantic nationalist genre. Of course, Enescu excelled in this as a young composer. It's not the Romanian rhapsodies that we have in this concert. On the contrary, we have the piece at the end of his life, the Chamber Symphony. But I think the conversation between these two pieces is all the more interesting because in the Chamber Symphony we see an Enescu that looks towards modernism and synthesizes his Mahlerian scale symphonic thinking with his chamber vision, which he developed over a lifetime, and where arguably we have the most striking and unique voice of Enescu. So in this chamber symphony, which he wrote, the last piece he completed, because after that he did work on a couple of other major works, but this is the last one he completed, and we see this synthesis of lifetime, and the fact that he was, although he's seen as a late romantic composer, he was not an enemy of modernism and of modern expression.
This invites us to look in a backward way into the program because we now know where you're concluding, and that sort of Mark Antony Turnage is introducing this or is directly confronting himself, his work, his music with Enescu, with the late Enescu. So before we have a wonderful piece of Dan Didio, which I, when I listen to it, cannot directly connect to Marc Anthony Turnage, but of course to Enescu. So, in how far is that the piece that is supposed to be before the two?
This is a piece that I am very fond of. It's work dedicated in homage to Ștefan Niculescu. This also has a very interesting approach, a different kind of approach. I would say the Dedu and the Van der Aa have the connection to a perhaps more naturalistic approach to this idea of the way we put our heart into music, because Hypercardia at different points in the score calls for the performers to play in the tempo of their blood pulse rhythm, disconnected from the conductor and from the rest of the ensemble. This is the music where we connect also in this way with the performance on stage, on a human, naturalistic way. And the sound of this music is I think is very rooted in the Romanian school, because it has to do with these layers of beautiful soundscapes which Ștefan Niculescu developed a lot. Has to do with this kind of border between polyphony and heterophony, where the pulse is not important. It's different free melodies, free melodical contours create these beautiful soundscapes, which I think have a very distinct flavor, Romanian flavor.
I'm just aiming at the pulse. Is that to bring all pulses of the performers together in the end so they like play with one heart? Or is that the estimated blood pulse a human being has? So is that, in other words, the measure they are performing in?
This is the kind of dialogue between the two, let's call them canvases of music that happen in the piece. Of course, finally, the structure has to be constructed, as we do with classical pieces. And this idea of multiple possibilities of how a piece or part of a piece can be realized is not new, but this idea of connecting it to the individual heart rate of each performer in the ensemble is very intriguing for me. So at different points in the piece, different musicians leave the general pulse, which is shown by the conductor, and follow a tempo given that their heart rate. If they are very nervous, then it will be faster. If they are not so nervous, they will be a little bit slower, and that creates different timelines within the music. Of course, in the end, the structure calls for the ensemble to complete the piece in an organized way. So, in this sense, it's a work like every other, but within it, in the journey in which we follow the music, there are times where it's free and unexpected.
Let's just keep that in mind. It's a piece where the structure is there, but the outcome is not really clear because there are elements which forcing the performers and the listeners as well to be always open for a change in the end. Let's quickly clip in Michel van der Aa. His piece, I don't know, so you have to tell me a little bit about. But I know that this kind of questions about the necessity of a time structure, of a time frame, is always something that's connected to his work. So, Shades of Red, in how far is that different colors of changing lights outside?
The piece is a conversation about color. So it has four sections that have to deal with color, but we have to keep in mind that this piece was composed in the process of completing his opera Upload, which is it's a science fiction naturalistic subject matter dealing with a protagonist that at the end of his life uploads his identity to the cloud. So, this really interesting zone of ideas and this atmosphere of actually being, yes, science fiction, but not very far from where we are. And in fact, with a very strong feeling of realism. So, the piece creates this kind of conversation between the instrumental sound that we have on stage with electronic sound, which reworked from instrumental sound or generated, but it's always this kind of alter ego of the instrumental sound, so beautifully done, because these instruments that we play, they are already 100, 200 years old, some of them more than that. And the voice of the instrument is the same, but it's saying new things, and it's in conversation with sound realities that were not even dreamed about when these instruments were built and constructed. And it's a beautiful kind of embedding of these two worlds.
Even before comes your own work, a challenging question to see what we will have heard afterwards, and then linking this to what we will hear in the beginning of the concert of your work. But it will make sense because your work is connected to M.C. Escher and his paintings and figures, which are not connected to time and not connected to space, because whatever angle you look at it, it seems like a structure, but it never is, because the structure then, in an illogical way, moves in a different dimension. If we think of M.C. Escher, we have staircases that lead to the up, and suddenly we find us moving backwards above our own head when we would walk these stairs. Or we have rooms that open in front of us, but suddenly we find it's enclosing around us. And that in a kind of fluent way, so we don't really detect where this image is changing. So that's the artwork to describe his paintings. Does that idea of changing perspectives, whereas you don't realize there is a change, get about in your music?
Escher makes us wonder, seeing his works and enjoying his works, about what the point of view is from where we are presented with reality. His works are full of paradoxes and real things that we deal with every day that are slightly altered, and that makes us wonder if we have a real point of view, if we are looking at the scene from reality, from within a mirror, or whether the ground we are sitting on is actually the ground, or it could be the roof, or it could be a sidewall. This for me has always been fascinating, and I've been a hugely inspired by Escher for a very long time. This piece, another reason why it made it into this program, is because it was commissioned by the ensemble, by the New European Ensemble, as the Turnage Romanian Rhapsody was also. So the piece is based or heavily inspired by his series of prints called Metamorphose. There are three of them, one, two, and three. They are all related. So Metamorphose 3 is the most complex one that was developed from the first two. The work incorporates lots of themes that Escher worked on in other works as well. But what I would say really inspired me from the beginning from this work is this ability to create a fictional evolution origin myth, kind of as we follow the fresco. The title of the piece is incorporated in the print, and it turns into a pattern, and that pattern gradually turns into rocks and crystals, which gradually turn into matter, and matter gradually turns into life, insects, animals, birds, and then following that, depictions turn into artworks. We go from a figurative depiction of a natural world to patterns, to stylized depictions. And that turns into a landscape, and the landscape turns into a chessboard, and the chessboard turns back. And finally, we end up where we left from, the patterns at the beginning with the title of the work. So it's really like this fictional evolution, origin myth. It could start anywhere, always goes back to the same place and goes on forever. And all these ideas, we find them throughout Escher's work. So that's really the framework that inspired me to many musical connections between Escher's themes and my music. There is a form of connection with Bach and with even older Ars Subtilior composers, because the piece in a similar sense to Escher's Metamorphose incorporates, it's a kind of meta look on the form of a piece of music and the act of making music, if you want, because the event of the performance with all its ceremony is part of the development. The performance brings about the sound, and the sound evolves into melody, and melody evolves into music, into all the complexity that our music has. And the music evolves into an homage to great artists, and the homage evolves into an event, and we're back at the beginning. It's like a Mobius trip, where as we travel through the timeline of the piece, we end up at a point where the line twists. And although we're in the same place, we're in a different realm, let's say, in a real. It's an in fact an impossibility, as Escher presents us, but it's only a game, as Escher put it. His art is just a game, a very serious game. And I think that's very true about music also.
Next concert, the future in classical music.